Get Ripple, the bright new drink that ring-a-ding flavor, Ripple.
This is one of my first guests. Is that really loud for you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
And this is my friend Sarah.
Hi, everyone.
And Sarah and I went to high school together. We've known each other for a very, very, very long time. She has some awesome kids. And if you ever want design advice, she's the one to go to because she's got the cutest house in the whole wide world. But she's also into the blood and the gore and the crime and the darkness.
It's all pretty fun.
It's a good time. Do you want to share like one of your favorite crime stories?
Oh my goodness.
Like what was, so JonBenet for me, like back in the day was the one that kind of got me into the whole true crime thing.
Gosh, I don't know if I have a favorite.
I guess favorite's not the right word.
Yeah, yeah. The most interesting, most intriguing.
Yes.
Oh,
putting you on the spot. I told you that wasn't going to be a hard question.
I know. Can I get back to you by the end of the recording?
Absolutely.
I'm going to brainstorm after I just told you I feel dumb and I can't remember anything. Now I have to remember things.
It's okay. On the way here, actually, I was listening to the radio and I don't know if you heard or not, but OJ died. Did you hear that? Yeah, he's dead. And I remember...
He's still in prison.
No,
right?
He got...
Oh, that's right.
He got out because he got a not guilty for the whole Nicole murder, but everyone knows that he really did it. But then he went back to prison for like sports memorabilia.
Stealing trophies?
Something or... like that.
So something he was in there dumb? For a while.
Yeah. But I feel like they just really wanted to put him in prison for something.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, he died today. But do you remember in Mr. Wolf's class, like that was our math class? Like he'd write on the board, go to page 72 and do the problems while I watched the OJ trial in my pushed in like wheelie TV set.
Well, I remember, I think I vaguely remember that, but I had Mr. Crow for psychology.
Uh-huh.
And so that was like, he was making an assignment out of the whole trial, basically,
oh,
you know,
really?
like look at people's reactions, look at how it's affecting them type, like look at the jury. Can you imagine what they're going through?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So we got to watch a lot of it in class.
And he did too. You know, he was into it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But, yeah, I remember that.
It feels like forever ago, but I guess he had cancer.
Oh, poor OJ. Well, you know. Justice was not served, though.
Not at all. Not at all. And then to go and write that book, like, oh, if I did it, this is how I would have done it.
Yeah.
Type thing. That's just...
all because of the gloves.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I can't fit my hand in this glove.
He was probably doing like, what are those little things called that you crunch with your hands? You like work out.
Oh, the squeezers.
The squeezers.
I mean, like, I know that's not the name, but like the metal.
Yeah.
We're both sitting here doing the motion.
The squeezy things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, working out his hands so the gloves wouldn't fit.
Or they probably put the gloves in water and shrunk them or
yeah.
something.
Or it was
stupid.
The wrong glove.
Or he was just a really bad actor. Or good actor,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a really good story. Not good. Again, not the right word. Interesting story. And I am picking stories that I think that my guests will enjoy, and this is one
I always enjoy all the stories. Number one, Ripple Pod fan.
Woo-hoo! You're an OG, too. This one is, like, if I did, like, a trigger warning at the beginning of an episode, it would have every trigger warning possible.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is... all over the place.
Oh, no. Now I'm scared.
So this isn't that long ago. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, 2022, There's this lady named Tara, and I'm already going to start slaughtering names, but it's Pakanish, P-A-K-A-N-I-C-H. And she's sleeping upstairs next to her boyfriend named Steve Hendricks. And all of a sudden she wakes up by the slamming of like the storm door from the basement. So in California, we don't have a lot of basements, but apparently there's something called storm doors. And there's also something called basements. And she hears this car engine just driving away. And she walks downstairs because she wanted to see if her son, Shad, S-H-A-D, it sounds like Chad, but it's Shad, Shad Rock Thyron. So Rock is his middle name.
Wow.
I know, he's fancy.
He's like Nordic or something. I don't know.
That Shadrock.
Shadrock.
Thyron. Or Therion. I don't know. You could, I guess could say that.
Thyroid?
Thyroid. One of those. He was 24. And if you like his name, you're going to like the name of his friend he was hanging out with. Her name is Taylor. I can't even say it without laughing. Oh, Taylor Shabusiness.
God.
Taylor Shabusiness or Coronado. They had been hanging out.
I think you should make a disclaimer real quick that we're 12.
Oh yes. The sense of humor.
Sorry,
yes.
We have the giggles.
Oh, Shabusiness. So she hears this noise in this car and she just wants to go downstairs to make sure that they turned off the lights and locked the door before they left. Because they had been hanging out in the basement, like, all the day before as well, while she and her boyfriend were out of town. And Taylor had been at Shad's house on February 21st, 2022. They had been friends since middle school, and they had, like, done the whole, like, dated on again, off again, small town type stuff. And Taylor had picked up Shad and another friend to go hang out at some apartment. And the three friends were just, you know, doing what three friends do, just smoking weed and meth and injecting trazodone.
Oh, shit.
You know, it's a typical Tuesday night, right? I guess trazodone is like a, I looked it up, almost like a, I want to say like a downer, makes you sleepy, I guess.
Is it like a sedative?
Something similar to that. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't know what meth does. I don't know if that's, I feel like I should know. Like, there's a lot of meth stories.
Isn't
I think that's
like
an upper
energy?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
And then weed, depending on the person and the kind of weed, it could go either way. So I don't know. They're doing weed, they're doing meth, they're doing trazodone, lots of stuff.
My God.
Yeah. So the friend leaves and Shad and Taylor are just saying like, hey, let's keep the party going. So they go over to Shad's mom's house since they were out for the night. Mm-hmm. And currently at this time, Taylor is married to a man named Warren Shabusiness. And
unfortunate.
His real last name technically is Shabow, S-C-H-A-B-O-W. But he goes by Shabusiness and that's, like, I don't know if they changed it legally or not, but in every document it says Shabusiness, Shabusiness, Shabusiness. I think people just like to write it and say
funny.
It. And I looked at his Facebook profile, and he posted on October 23rd, 23. So he wrote, quote, coming home soon. And under his, like, about me, it says, I do trust my beautiful wife. I will do anything to protect her. Stay strong, baby boo. I love you. Boss, protector, provider, pappy boo for the queen, Taylor Shabusiness. So he really loves this
pappy boo.
Pappy boo.
Oh, boy.
But he's currently in custody at a federal prison for one court count of armed burglary and two counts of theft.
Mr. Shabusiness is in prison.
Correct.
Okay.
And when he was arrested, he was on probation for drug charges. So he had posted that on October 23rd, and it looks like he's still serving his time, even though he thought he was coming home soon.
Oh.
So back to Taylor and Warren. Taylor and Warren started dating in 2017 and got married on February 14th in 2020. And they have a baby, little baby Mateo, who was born in 2021. Love so that that's name. Just a little bit about Warren and Taylor's ship business and their relationship.
God, I can't stop laughing at the name. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Ship Business.
So back to Shad and Taylor. So the two go down to the basement to do some more drugs and they start having sex. So they dated before Taylor married Warren. And since he is in jail, I guess that's like totally acceptable in their relationship Pappy Boo.
So he was in prison at the time of this.
Yes.
Not just currently.
Yes, correct. Okay,
so 2022, he was in prison.
Yes, okay. And is still. Mm-hmm.
Poor Warren.
So the two, Taylor and Shad, they liked to practice erotic asphyxiation. And can you give a brief definition on what you think that is?
Is that like choking each other out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, and shoot.
Until you can't like almost... Blackout. And then you come back and then you get chugged out
really
again.
Doesn't sound that fun.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think? When you're doing your trazodone and meth. So on this particular day, the items that they were using to choke each other were like metal dog choke chains. And Taylor starts choking Shad and he starts to turn purple. But she wants to see what happens after he turns purple. And he starts to cough up blood.
Wait, I have to stop you.
Go.
Why is this my story? You picked this just for me.
Are you really into those hard drugs and crazy sex? Isn't that your stuff?
No one told me if it was.
You'll see. You'll see why. So he's coughing up blood and she says to herself, like, I've already gone this far. So she decides to just kill him. Like, that's her thought process. Like, I'm just going to kill him. So she continues to strangle Shad for approximately 3 to 5 more minutes until he dies. And Taylor says that she could feel his heart beating. So she, quote, kept pulling and choking him harder, claiming that he would not die, and he just kept, like she says, rebuilding into muscle. And she didn't want to stop because she really liked it.
Oh my God.
I told you this one was dark.
You think that you would be like, oh shoot, I almost killed him. Thank God his heart's still beating. I should stop.
Well, and you know, they were friends since middle school. So not that it's okay to kill a stranger, but I feel like killing someone that you have like a long relationship and friendship with.
Was it drug induced?
Well, probably something to do with it. So now Shad is dead. And Taylor decides that this is going to be the perfect time to perform oral sex on him. So she has a dead body. She's having intercourse with him and performing oral sex on him. She also uses a dildo on him and cuddles with his dead body for the night.
In the basement?
Yes.
At mom's?
Yes, and they're still gone. They haven't come home yet. So the next morning, she starts dismembering Shad. She walked up to the kitchen from the basement to grab knives from Shad's mom's kitchen, and she lays Shad's body on a mattress and places his head into a bucket to catch the blood. She starts to cut Shad open and take out his internal organs. And in a later interview, she says, I was sucking and cutting at the same time. So the sucking is like Jolly Ranchers that she just kept putting in her mouth. And just, she's like, oh, here's a Jolly Rancher. I'm going to just cut, 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 cut. And she's like, I liked it. I didn't know what to do. And parts of Shad that she cuts open and places, dismembers, she puts into these plastic bags or totes or like a zippered gym bag that she finds in the garage, or not garage, I'm not used to saying the word basement. In the basement, she cuts off his penis and testicles and puts them in the bucket and then puts his head on top of that.
God.
And then in between these dismemberments, she'd play with his body parts and cuddle with his headless torso.
Why would she even tell anybody that?
It's like it didn't even faze her. Like in these interviews, she totally talks about it like nonchalantly. Like, oh, yeah, that's what I did.
Wow. Not disturbing at all.
She dumped the blood she was collecting into the shower drain that was in the basement. And so finally she decides it's time to get out of the basement and she starts putting parts of Shad into her minivan. But she gets tired. Are you laughing at the minivan?
I'm just thinking about you in my loading minivan? Body parts into your minivan.
She gets tired of going back and forth, and she decides to leave some of him there.
Oh, my God.
That's when she slammed the door and drove away. And that's the sound that Shad's mom heard that woke her up. So, Tara, back to that initial part.
When did she come home?
That evening. So, she didn't know that Shad was obviously dead.
Or that Taylor was there.
Oh
my goodness.
So Shad's mom goes into the basement and she notices a bucket with a towel over it. And she lifts the towel and sees Shad's head. And she goes back upstairs, wakes up her boyfriend, and he calls the police. And the call goes something like this. And I listen to the call and it's the poor man, the boyfriend, because he's in like talking to the 911 dispatcher at first, and he's like, this is what my girlfriend says. And it says, my girlfriend just woke me up and says she found the severed head of her son in the basement. And the dispatcher is like, what? Like, are you sure? Like, he didn't believe him. And like, just, it's, you know, and he's like, I didn't see it. And so it goes on. And it says that he went to look in the bucket too, but he says, I can't see real well and I couldn't tell what the fuck it is. And he's like apologizing because he's like, I don't want to go look at it again. And the mom is in the background. She's like, I don't want to go look again, but I know it's real. I know it's there.
Oh my gosh.
And the dispatcher even asks like if Tara maybe was hallucinating.
Is she like hysterical?
They were both pretty calm. Like, I don't even think I'd be conscious.
It's one thing to find your child. I mean, I know he was a man, but dead. But his head?
In a bucket.
In a bucket.
Mm-hmm. So the boyfriend keeps saying, like, I know that there's something in the bucket for sure. I opened up the towel. And I picked up the towel and I dropped it because I don't know what the fuck it is, man. He's like, I have bad vision. And she's like, is that what I think it is? I don't fucking know.
Put your glasses on.
He probably just, you know, they just gotten woken up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So he then hands the phone to Tara and says that she had no idea where the rest of his body was. And dispatch asked her, you're sure it couldn't be like a fake head or something? Like, they didn't want to just
send someone over, staff?
Come and check this out.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, I'm not going to touch it or look at it. She explained that, you know, Shad had been staying at her house and hanging out with his friend Taylor. She also asked if the police could be quiet when they came because her 16-year-old daughter was sleeping. And that was, like, heartbreaking for me. She's like, I don't want to wake my daughter up. So the police arrive, and they go into the basement to confirm that there is, in fact, a severed head in a bucket. They don't see a lot of blood in the basement, but once they start looking, they find a few of the boxes that Taylor had placed Shad's body parts in, including his torso, but with none of its internal organs inside of it. Instead of the organs, it had one of his feet shoved inside. So she, like, cut off a foot, took off, you know, all the internal organs from the torso, put those in separate bags, and then shoved his foot inside of it.
So, it's just so weird.
So now the police are on the hunt for Taylor and the rest of Shad.
I know you said she was collecting the blood, but I mean, you think there would be still a lot of blood.
Right. And it's, you can look at the crime scene photos and there's blood on the mattress, but like as like for the floor and stuff, it's pretty clean because she used those buckets to collect any blood and then she'd take it and put it in the shower.
That's like crazy methodical. Creepy.
A little bit later, they find Taylor walking out of her apartment building, and she did have some dried blood on her clothes and still some on her hands. She also had some scratches on her arms and a cut on her thumb. When the police were arresting her, they asked if she knew the reason they were there, and she said, because of my warrants? Like, this wasn't even, like, a thought for her. Because in January of 2022, she had previously been convicted of fleeing, eluding, and obstructing a police officer and sentenced to 3 months in jail. But then I read like some conflicting reports, like if she was under house arrest, work release, if maybe she removed a battery on her ankle bracelet, or if she was in fact free when Chat was murdered. So like, she had been recently in trouble for some other stuff. During one of Taylor's interviews, she said that she kept blacking out or nodding out while she was choking Shad, but she just kept going. She was totally calm during the interviews, and when they told her that they found Shad's head in a bucket, she just responded, "That's pretty fucked up."
Oh my God.
So then a few moments later, she said, "Damn, the head. I can't believe I left the head, though." So, like maybe it took her a little while to process that.
She wasn't, like, at all emotional. No. Like, my friend is dead. Like, not even trying to fake it.
No. Because she also told the officers that they were going to have fun trying to find the rest of all of his other organs.
Oh, my God.
So some body parts, including another leg, was found in a crock pot box inside of her minivan. So I don't know if she was going to try to, like, cook and eat him.
This is so, like, not funny, but I can't.
Yeah, that's why I thought you'd like it.
It's the minivan.
When searching for more body parts, police also found evidence of their drug usage, including a glass pipe and a bag with some light-colored powder in it. She went on to tell law enforcement that she continued having sex with the dead body for a period of time because she enjoyed it, and then gathered kitchen knives with the intention to dismember Shad and keep all his body parts, but she got lazy. So this is like a plan almost she had. She told them that it was fun choking Shad, and she asked them if they knew what it was like to love something so much that you kill it. So on March 1st, she was officially charged with the murder of the first degree, mutilating a corpse, and third degree sexual assault. Taylor's attorney, Quinn Jolly, submitted a not guilty by reason of insanity plea on September 1st, 2022. When he was requesting more time so that some experts could determine if Shabusiness was even competent to stand trial, Taylor attacks him in the courtroom. So she's in the courtroom and Mr. Jolly's like talking to the judge and stuff, and she's handcuffed, like, and it's a handcuff like attached to a belt.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's sitting there, and then you just see her like elbow the guy, because her arms or her hands are down here. She elbows him, climbs on top of him, and just starts wailing on her attorney. And they're able to get him off of her right away. But Quinn Jolly is like, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this crazy anymore. So he quit. And he was replaced by Christopher Froelich on March 3rd. So some more of the strange things that happened during the trial. There was this forensic psychologist, Diane Lighton. She testified that Taylor had told her that she, quote, had a thing with Jeffrey Dahmer a year ago. So I know you're a super fan. And if you recall, on episode 97 of the Ripple podcast, I told the Christopher Scarver story, who's the guy that killed. Yes, Jeffrey Dahmer in 1994. So for Taylor to have a thing with Jeffrey Dahmer back in 2022, or even to have communicated with him at all, it's just like completely delusional.
Psychosis.
They looked at Taylor's internet searches, and she searched Jeffrey Dahmer, who also was a fellow Wisconsin resident, a lot. Things like Jeffrey Dahmer's butt, Jeffrey Dahmer walking sexy into the courtroom, as well as pictures of him on her phone. And there's this one, like, she's taking a selfie, and she's got a picture of, like, Dahmer in her back. So it's, like, her taking a selfie with Jeffrey Dahmer in the background. So it's, like, she's... me and Jeffrey hanging out. Other searches on her computer were flaming pentagrams and custom blow-up dolls.
Oh, my God.
So a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity was entered by her former attorney, stating that Taylor had been diagnosed as bipolar and had been getting treated for her mental health issues since she was in seventh grade. But a physician appointed by the court and the judge found that she was able to stand trial. there was another doctor that testified in court explaining the state of Shad's body. And he says, quote, "We have a decapitation. We have dismemberment. We have transection of the torso. Subsequently, internally, the body has been eviscerated. In other words, we have entered inside the body through various cuts through the abdomen and between the ribs, where the victim's organs have been removed, largely one by one. His back was filleted."
So, oh my God.
And this is with kitchen knives.
Like, this must have taken her forever.
Probably the whole evening. Multiple times when details of what Taylor did to Shad, she was seen laughing and trying to cover her smile. So you can watch the whole, like, court TV of this.
Oh.
And they're describing things and she, like, covers her mouth, like, because she's smiling.
What the hell?
She once made a finger gun and, like, fired it at the judge. And
did anything come out?
No, maybe in her mind. On July 26, 2023, a jury took just 30 minutes to convict her on all three counts. She was guilty of first-degree intentional homicide, third-degree sexual assault, and mutilating a corpse. People were able to address the court and offer their opinion on Taylor and possibly weigh the judge's decision on a sentencing. And Kelly Therion, Shad's uncle, said, quote, "After Judge Walsh sentences you today, I will pray that you meet the same fate as your idol Jeffrey Dahmer. So have a great life, shit business." And then he added, "I don't see no reason why you should have parole. You did the most cowardly, weakest thing possible." But however, on the opposite side, Shad's father, Michael, said that he forgave Taylor. He asked the judge give her a chance. And he said, quote, "I forgive you, and I'm going to ask the judge if you can see the streets again sometime. I believe that everybody makes bad choices. Maybe not on this scale. I think there is a lot of hope for you to be a better person, and I think you will do great things yet. I wish you no harm, and I hope things go well for you."
What?
Can you imagine saying that to the person that just did all of that to your child?
Well, she has no remorse.
None. She obviously thinks it's funny.
Oh my God. What's he smoking?
So then Esther Coronada, who's Taylor's grandma and the person who has current custody of baby Mateo, she told stories of how Taylor's mom passed away in her sleep when she was just a teenager, when Taylor was a teenager, and how her dad had remarried and Taylor was treated like the evil stepdaughter by the new wife. And how her brother died in a motorcycle accident, and Taylor had like all these horrible things happen to her. So her behavior wasn't really her fault. She asked the judge to give Taylor parole and extended supervision with drug treatments. She said, quote, "I know that she committed a crime and they want her to pay for it, but I believe she should have the opportunity to come back to society sometime and be with her son."
That's like, she's not fit.
Well, and bad things happen to a lot of people, and they don't go off beheading people.
Most times they're like the biggest success stories, you know, and amazingly kind.
Yeah, come back from
people.
It.
People, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not psychos.
Taylor's dad, Arturo Coronado, walked into court wearing an orange jumpsuit and shackles. That matched Taylor's because he's also in prison. And he said that he loved his daughter and blamed her actions on her husband for introducing her to meth.
Wait, so the dad's in prison, the husband's in prison.
He said that she got into trouble at school a little bit, but nothing too terrible. She flashed the, like, I love you sign to him, and was laughing a lot when he was speaking. And as he was being led out of the courtroom, he passed Taylor and said, "Love you," which she repeated back. And then he added, "Go Bears," which she said back. And he's currently serving a 12-year sentence for second-degree sexual assault of a child, according to the Brown County court records.
Holy smokes. Wait, so was he living in Wisconsin as well?
Well, he was in prison when all of this went down.
But is that where
he's from originally?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was living in Wisconsin or not.
Man, this poor family.
So 2 months later, on September 26th, she was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. The judge ruled that she was a risk to the public and was handed life. He ruled that she was a risk to the public and was handed life without extended supervision for murder, plus an additional 10 and a half years for mutilation of a corpse and sexual assault. When Taylor walked into court, she was wearing that orange jumpsuit again that her dad was wearing with the shackles. But she also had a very special added accessory on. She was wearing a white spit mask. So not like the cool Hannibal Lecter type mask, but this is one a baggy cloth diaper wrapped around the lower half of her head. But even though half of her face is covered up.
I can't picture this.
Oh, I'll show you a picture. I'll show you. You could still tell that she's laughing and smiling, thinking that her crime was a joke. So that she's got this thing on her, probably because she attacked her lawyer and all this stuff. It's just added protection. But she's still thinking everything's a big joke. It's still fun. So the judge says that he had to protect the public from her, and he says, quote, "This crime offends human decency. It offends human dignity. It offends the human community. It really does," he said. Shad's father, like I said before, forgave Shabusiness, saying, "I believe everybody makes bad choices, but the judge is, kind of going with the majority here." And didn't let his asking for forgiveness really play into his decision. So currently, Shabusiness is serving out her sentence at the Tay Cheetah Correctional Institution. It's a facility housing only female inmates that's located in the city of Fond du Lac. I'm not really sure where that is. And then I went and read Shad Rock Thiron or Therion's obituary, and it says, Shadrach Therion, 24, passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. Shad was born September 7th, 1997, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, to Tara Pakinich and Michael Therion. Shad enjoyed camping, games, and spending time with his family. He was a very kind and compassionate person who often thought of others before himself. A talented artist, he also enjoyed wood carving. So Warren, the husband, Warren Shabusiness, he's still in custody at federal prison. And again, according to his Facebook, he claims he was framed for his crimes. And he says, quote, anyways, I beat a conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine charge and plead to a possession with intent to deliver, which is the best deal I could get. Just know I'll be out by the January of 2024, but possibly November or December this year. So plan on Warren Shabusiness to be out soon. Now you know a little more about Warren, and trust me, come my release, there will be lots more to know about myself and my wife. So he's writing this even after the whole murder charge.
Yeah, he's still
totally standing by her.
Number one fan of Taylor Shabusiness.
He is, baby boo.
I guess they're a perfect couple.
He wrote, my wife might be locked up for a long time, if not life. But what the world community don't understand is my release date is soon. He keeps talking about that. I'm going to get out soon. Guess what, dude? You're still there. Yes, what she is being accused of is serious, but this doesn't change the fact that she still has rights and she still has a family, people that love her, no matter what her situation might be. Either way, I stand behind my wife and I will forever stand behind her forever. I know. Some of his stuff is very hard to read. November 25th, 2022 is when he wrote that.
It's like a certain person's Facebook post, yes, that you and I both know.
Exactly. That one's pretty bad lately. Holy moly. There's always two sides to every story. And if you know my wife like I know my wife, you wouldn't think or believe she could ever do what has been done. But at the end of the day, she's still got a son and a husband who loves and cares about her more than anything in this world. Baby boo, Mateo, I pray every day for you. We think about you nonstop, and we promise you we will always be here for you no matter, because that's the Shabusiness way. Stay strong and get better soon. We need you, Mammy Boo. We love you and miss you so much. Everything is going to be okay. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Hashtag free Taylor Shabusiness. Love always and forever, Mateo and Warren Shabusiness. So
poor Mateo.
That is the murder of Shad Therion. And it was a story that was actually suggested to me by my mom. So I'll just say,
your mom? Thanks, where did mom. She find that?
Oh, she finds crazy stories. Crazy. She likes the whole true crime stuff.
Wow.
She's like, you've got to do one on the Shabusiness.
Shabusiness.
That's it. Oh, I should go over my sources really quick. Wikipedia, Facebook, obviously. Heavy.com, The Sun, 2Fab, Case Text, Green Bay Press Gazette, Daily Mail, and another Daily Mail. So, yeah. That's it. That's the crazy, gory story.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Final thoughts.
We don't have a shot.
Sorry. I know. We're drinking lemon water. It's in the middle of the day on a Thursday. We're not doing our meth and Trazodone.
No, for keeping it light, lemon water. Like I said, poor Mateo.
I know. That's kind of where you're.
I just hope, you know, he can make something out of himself and not end up in prison. At this point,
mom and dad and grandpa.
I guess just not ending up in prison would be a success story.
Absolutely.
You know?
Poor kiddo.
So sad. Back to my
crime.
Your question. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would necessarily be a crime. As you know, I have a fear. I have a fear of UFOs.
You don't even like saying the word.
I don't like saying it. I feel like they're listening. And, you know, the creatures that travel in them. It's been a thing since I was a kid, and it's totally real, and it may or may not be rational, but I think that's kind of where my interest in all this paranormal, true crime,
it all goes hand in hand,
hoopla came from. Like, even though it terrifies me, I'm so intrigued, mm-hmm. and I want to see. And then I have nightmares forever. But, like, I'm really protective about my kids watching that type of stuff. Like, I don't want them exposed to that. And Will thinks, like, oh, this is so interesting. Like, this is going to be cool. Let's watch this. And I'm like, no, kids cannot see this. Like, I don't want them to have this
fear
and this, like, heavy thing on them. Like, there were plenty of nights when I stayed awake.
Waiting.
Like, thinking I saw a flash mm-hmm. in the sky, or, you know, just... Or, like, your 16th birthday party.
When the aliens came to visit us.
They did. I totally saw a UFO when we were outside in your swimming pool. See? You know? That mm-hmm. was 30 years ago. And I'm still watching the sky.
I can't even remember who I was talking to. It was not that long ago. But it was someone that was brought up in a pretty conservative Catholic home and was brought up with a lot of the tradition of, like, Catholicism and church.
Is
and
it me?
No, I know. That's what made me think of it. But I'm, like, wondering if a lot of that, well, I mean, you can't, like, group totally, but she says that's why she's so interested in all of this stuff. She's like, it totally comes from, like, the Catholic or Catholic side and, like, you know, don't play with Ouija boards and don't do tarot cards and don't do all of this and talk with the dead. And she's like, that's why it's so interesting to me. Yeah. She's like, because I was told my whole life, don't do any of this. But then I was like, ooh, but I want to. I want to see what happens.
It's like, yeah, it's like not too dangerous or, you know, it's not like drugs or like crime or it's like
beheading people.
Yeah, it's not choking people out and cutting off their everything. But yeah, so that's like, it's my favorite and my worst fear at the same uh-huh. time, you know. It's so interesting. And yeah, but thank you for not doing a story
on UFOs
about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll save that for another person.
Save that one for Shelley.
Okay. All right, I have one more thing that you need to do.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Cuz I mess this up every time. But don't forget to be a fountain.
Not a drain.
Oh, you did it! Yay, thanks, Sarah.